concentration that we need, Lord, and Lord, the devil would love for us to focus on other things. May indeed we focus on your word. Trust, Lord, you be a teacher, give him all the remembrance of what he studied for, and even beyond that, Lord, but most of all, Lord, that we'll keep our eyes upon you and praise you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Yeah, I appreciate that. All the memory, yeah, all the memory courses I've taken over the years, I still have a hard time remembering my name. So, alright, we're going through, for you that are just coming, we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians through Philemon, and we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 today. Last week we were in chapter 5, and chapter 5, of course, was filled with immorality, and it dealt with dealing with immorality in the local assembly, and how they were puffed up, they were proud about it, they didn't handle the situation, and Paul rebuked them, told them to purge it out, get rid of it, get rid of the sin in the ministry amongst the brethren. And as we begin chapter 6 today, we see continuation not only of that, the immorality, but it deals mainly with going to law with the brethren, where Danny has a problem with me. Maybe I borrowed some money and I didn't pay him back. So, rather than going to the law, the proper procedure, as we found the pattern in Matthew 18, was he comes to me one-on-one. If that doesn't work, he brings witness, then he brings two witnesses, then it goes before the church. And then it's dealt with by the church. That's a pattern laid down in Scripture. And you say, Matthew, there it's still Old Testament. Yes, it's true. But it hasn't changed in the New Testament writing, so the pattern stays the same. So that's the way we handle the problems amongst brethren, or we should. And unfortunately, in this day and age, we very seldom see that. Very seldom see that going on. And there's blatant sin going on in many ministries that aren't dealt with. When I was in Florida, I was in jail. Not for a crime. For the crimes, I was in prison. But no. I was in jail, and I worked with the man that went to one of the mega churches in our area, and he told me, John, I couldn't stay there. He says, we had couples in there that were living together. They knew it. The pastor knew about it. I went to the pastor because he was one of the deacons. He says, we need to deal with this, and here's scripturally why we need to deal with it. And, he wouldn't touch it. He didn't want his ministry being affected, losing people, which would end up losing money. And so you know what his prime motivation was, finances. So they didn't deal with it. He left and found a Bible-believing church that he could go to. So we need to deal with sin in the church, because if we don't, the end result is that magnifies and it multiplies and it gets worse and worse within that ministry. For example, you have fornication going on. A guy and a woman not married to each other, maybe married, they're fooling around. That's going to spread. Sin spreads. And that's why it has to be dealt with in the ministry and in our personal lives. The old example, illustration, is you take a bushel full of good apples one rotten apple in there, it'll spread. It'll continue. And that's the way it is within a ministry and within what happens with sin in people's lives. So we're dealing here about going to court, pagan judges, lost people. Why would you go to there? And then that's verses 1 through 11. Then verses 12 through 20 deals with, again, sexual matters, and we'll get down to there. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1, Paul speaking through the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not to the saints?" And we touched on this last week, and I gave you the pattern just now. And Paul, why would you do this? Why? Dare any of you go to the lost and not to the saved people to deal with a problem amongst ourselves? And verse 2 says, do ye not know that the saints shall judge the world? Okay, here we go. This comes into a doctrinal thing here. This refers our judging, and it's not, and we'll touch on it when we get down in the second part of this verse. This refers to the millennial reign. That's the, if you're not familiar with that term, it's a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And it moves into eternity. We will be sitting with the Lord Jesus Christ in a position after the judgment seat of Christ, in a position in Christ's government. And as I've said before, the judgment seat of Christ determines our position in Christ's government. That's why the scriptures and any decent teacher and preacher will encourage you and exhort you to have your motives right for serving the Lord so that you receive a reward for what you're doing. And as I said, that reward will determine your position in Christ's government. I don't know if it's going to work like it does now, you know, a governor or senators or whatever it is, however he sets it up. That's how it's going to be. We'll be ruling and reigning with him. They will reign over the nations of the earth and help administer the affairs of the universe. Now, that's a privilege you and I are going to have. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, we'll see this. I won't just say it. I'll show you scripture for it. Revelation chapter 1. And look at verse number 6. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever." So you and I, if you're born again, if I'm born again, we're going to be made kings and priests. You're already a saint. You know that. And you come out of the Roman church, and that's one of the first things you learn, that we are saints. We weren't canonized and all, but by being obedient to the Word of God, getting saved, we are made saints. Continue chapter 5, Revelation chapter 5. We're made kings and priests. Revelation chapter 5. And look down at verse 10. "And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Now we're going to reign on the earth. Reign is holding a position, of course. And chapter 11, Revelation chapter 11. Chapter 11 and verse 15. "And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven, saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever and ever. So the everything is going from God the Father after tribulation, after the millennial, after Satan's cast into the lake of fire and everything's judged. All the nations are going to the Son, and we will reign with him forever and ever. Chapter 20, Revelation chapter 20. In verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of men that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God. Now, that's talking about tribulation saints there. They're being beheaded. Of which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now these people are going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Okay, continue chapter 22 and look at verse number 5. Chapter 22 and verse number 5. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever and ever. So there's no question that we will hold a position in Christ's government, and we will rule and reign. And this is what this verse is talking about, judging the world. And it's the second part of that verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Now, Paul's being a little sarcastic here. You know, you're gonna rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. And can't you deal with the little matter here on the earth? So Paul uses sarcasm once in a while to show us, to teach us, that we can apply the Word of God to our lives, and the Lord Jesus Christ gets the honor and glory. Now, if we as believers were what we should be, and I'm talking about not just here, but everybody that claims the name of Christ, if we were what we should be according to the Word of God, you would not see this world in the condition that you see it in right now. You would not see the immorality going on in this world. But unfortunately, we're not. Not all of us. There are believers that take a stand and bring honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, don't compromise with the world. They purge sin out of their lives, and there are some like that. Percentage-wise, who knows? But individually, we need to look at ourselves. As I always say, you put that mirror, the Word of God, up, and you look at yourself. You say, where am I wrong? What am I doing I shouldn't be doing? What should I be doing that I'm not doing? And you change your ways accordingly to match the Word of God. That's how we should be living our lives. And then verse 3, chapter 6, 1 Corinthians, and verse 3. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? Now, to judge, this isn't in the context of making a legal decision. That's all up to the Lord. The Lord makes all the legal decision. It does not refer to passing sentence on the angels that fell or sending them into eternal punishment. But what it does mean is that the saints are exalted higher than the angels and will rule them, making decisions for the administration of this universe. Saints, not angels, saints, of course, being the born-again believers, become heirs and joint heirs with Christ to inherit all things. Now, Let me give you some scripture on that. We inherit all things. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. This is Sunday school, so we go to school. We learn scripture, hopefully. Romans chapter 8. And look at verse 17. Romans 8, 17. And if children, then heirs, talking about believers, we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with them, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon. Reckon is to bring into an account. It's a banking term. You add up all the numbers and you get that. You reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So what we're going through, if we're going through anything, suffering for the Lord, and thank God we don't have to suffer much in this country yet. Now, as I've said before, you're in an Islamic country. You will be held accountable. You will probably be imprisoned, tortured, and killed for preaching and teaching the Word of God and presenting the Lord Jesus Christ to the lost people there. But we're not at that point. And as I've said before, you may be called a Bible thumper. You've got your crutch. It's a Bible or it's Jesus Christ. Yeah, okay, fine. I got that crutch. What have you got? You've got the crutch of evolution, of your sinful life. I'll take the Lord Jesus Christ. So we can judge angels. Galatians 5:21. Turn there if you would. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 21. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revilings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And we'll get on this inheritance in a couple minutes. Even now, saints are being examples to the angels. Do you realize that angels are eager to learn about the plan of that God has for the redeemed? Look at these. First Peter chapter one. And I think preacher has mentioned this a few weeks ago. First Peter chapter one, beginning with verse 10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. The prophets knew nothing about the church age. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you, that they have preached the gospel unto you, and the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Now the angels see what's going on here, but they have no idea about it. They have a desire to know what salvation is all about. So we'll be judging angels according to verse 3. Now look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll hit on verses 4 and 5 and see what we've got there. If then we have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. Paul's rebuking them. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between the brethren. Now, we make judgments every day of our lives. So why can't we judge what's going on between brethren? What judgments do you make? You make judgments when you get up in the morning. What are you going to wear? When you're driving, do I stop for this stop sign? Do I stop for this red light? The judgments you make every day. And those are simple things. When it comes to business, those of you that deal in business, you have to make judgments every day. And that's what it's talking about. So can't you judge something as simple as this? Know ye not that ye shall judge angels? And then can't we judge between the brethren? And then 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 6 and 7. But brother goeth to brother before to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. Now here it affects our testimony. We claim to be saved, we're to uplift and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the lost world see? They see brethren fighting, bickering. And what kind of testimony is that? After all that, you're going to witness to that judge, to possible the attorneys, whoever's lost and sees this. They see what's going on, and they say, what's the difference between you and us? Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law one with the other. Why do ye not rather take wrong? Question for us. Why do we not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? This again teaches that the Christian should not go to law with the brother in civil courts. Someone does you wrong, normally the desire is to get even with that person or to get back at them, which is a wrong desire. Why not take the wrong? All right, so you're out a few hundred dollars. You don't think God can get that back to you in another way, some way? People talk about you. They're going to talk about you anyway. Well, why are you worried about that? You know, if we could record everything that's said about me, you would love to hear that. People are going to talk about you. People are going to defame you, especially if you take a stand on the Word of God. So, fine. Enjoy it. Don't try and get back, get even, and render evil for evil. Take it. What did the Lord Jesus Christ take for you and I? We need to stop and think logically and critically on things. Oh, he said that about me. Okay, how did I treat the Lord Jesus Christ in the past 48 hours? Did we always uplift, magnify, and glorify? Or did we defame him in some way that nobody knows about in our thought life, in our words, in what we looked at, what we read? How do we treat the Lord Jesus Christ? And how can we expect to be treated any differently than what we treat the Lord? So we're to take whatever's handed to us for our stand for the Lord. Okay? That doesn't mean you become a doormat for everybody either. There's times when we do take a stand. Okay, somebody's coming down on the Word of God, defaming the Lord Jesus Christ, you take a stand. But if it's, you know, they're putting me down, that's fine. Okay, You may be right. I can tell you a lot more. You want to know more about me? So you go on, everything, all the honor and glory goes to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to get ourselves out of the way. Verse 8, nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and that your brethren. Now, to defraud someone is to deprive a person by fraud of what is his right, either by fraudulently taking, you know, or dishonestly withholding from him, to cheat, to beguile. And this can be through the mouth also. You know, you're putting down. How many times do we talk gossip about someone else in the church, the ministry? How many times do we not uplift the brethren? We never know what's going on in that person's life. That's why we need to keep our mouths shut about the brethren. Example, the one time in Florida, one woman, all of a sudden she began to change. She would start talking about people. She would start, you know, not wanting to be around church people. Come to find out, she had a brain tumor. It affected her. She ended up dying a couple months later. But you never know what's going on in people's lives. You got a problem with somebody, take it to the Lord. If you go to them, if it's a problem you need to go to them, then go to them. But take it to the Lord. Let him deal with your problems. We can't handle them anyway. What can we do? We're helpless as of sorts. And then verses 9 and 10. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Okay, here's a problem. I've gone over this back and forth. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Is it talking about lost people here? If you partake in these things, then you don't go to heaven if you hold that position. Okay? Can a saved person get drunk? Can a saved person revile? That's talking about someone, putting them down. Can a saved person steal? How many people in prison are saved and were saved when they committed that crime? Now, if it's talking about going to heaven, then anyone who sins is not going to heaven. Verses 9 and 10 are often mistaken as a reference to getting to heaven, but the inheritance here is not reserved in heaven. As 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4 says, we have an inheritance reserved in heaven. It is in the kingdom of God, which shows up when the King shows up. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a spiritual kingdom, the kingdom of God. It's not the kingdom of heaven. Get those kingdoms separated in your mind so you know the difference. The kingdom of God is spiritual. The kingdom of heaven is a literal, physical kingdom that was promised to the Jewish nation, to the Israelites. And you find that in Luke 17, verses 20 and 21. This inheritance is an earned reward. Colossians chapter 3. Let's see what scripture says about that. Colossians chapter 3. Look at verse 23. And whatsoever ye do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men, So what we do in this life should be to honor and glory the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord. So our inheritance is based on, it's going to be the judgment seat of Christ, our rewards. Why do we do what we do? It's going to be the motives for what we do or don't do. Verse 25, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So the inheritance is going to be our rewards. A believer can commit heinous crimes, heinous sin. You look at chapter 5, you see what was going on, and the context there is saved people in the Corinthian ministry. The man was sleeping with his father's wife, having sexual relations with his father's wife. How much lower can you go than that? And they dealt, as I said, they dealt with that sin. He wouldn't repent, wouldn't get right. They threw him out of the church. The purpose was so that that man get right. And we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 that as a result, that man got right and got back in the ministry. So a believer can commit these crimes and still go to heaven. He just won't inherit anything at the judgment seat of Christ. In the judgment seat of Christ, you read about in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15, and there'll be no inheritance during the millennial reign. And you read that in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 12 and 13. So verse 11 now. And there were some of you, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, were washed in the blood. Our sins are gone. But ye are sanctified, you're set apart for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of God. So these are all things that the believer has. Now verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful to me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, here's we're going to deal for a minute with the rules that govern liberty. I won't hear the bell, so if you'd hear it in the back, raise your hand so I know. What rules are liberty? I am free. My sins are gone. For judicially, I don't have to answer for my sins. But again, it comes back to I will reap what I sow in this life. Now, how should I act? Knowing my sins are gone, and knowing the scriptures that I know, that we were saved unto good works, what governs my liberty? What should govern your liberty as a believer? First of all, we just read verse 12. If it's not expedient, that means if it's not profitable, or if it brings you under its power. You don't get involved in anything that'll bring you under its power, get you where it's a habit in your life, where it's wrong. 1 Corinthians 10:23, we won't turn there because of time, but if it becomes a stumbling block to others, it's wrong, other believers, or the lost world. If they see you doing, you may, poor example, but a guy invites you to, and you witness to him, and you're in a bar, you go in a bar, not to drink, or you're just standing outside of there, and you're witnessing to a friend. What are saved people going to think? What goes through your mind? You know, hey, that guy's coming out of the bar or he's going in. What kind of Christian is he? And to lost people, you've been witnessing to lost people and they see you there. You're no different than me. Why should I? What have you got that I don't have? Okay, I heard that. Or number three, Romans 14:21 and verses 3 and 4 in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. If it is contrary to the Word of God. Anything contrary to the Word of God, don't get involved in it. Stay away from it. 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, if it defiles your temple, that's this body, you know, what can defile it? You know, the body, the Word of God tells you not to mark your body. If you want to get tattoos, people are going to see that and wonder, what can defile your body? Drugs, drinking, anything like that. So that's wrong if it defiles your temple. 1 Corinthians 10:31, if it does not glorify God. You know, there's things we can do in this life that are fine, but if you're getting involved with something that does not glorify God, that means it's the opposite. It glorifies sin or the devil, then it's wrong. Romans 14:22 and 23, if it is a questionable thing, if you have some sort of doubt or question, don't do it. Wait. And then if it's philosophical, vain deceit, or human traditions. Expedient is to be helpful or useful in a particular situation, but sometimes not morally acceptable. Philosophy, the love, the study, or pursuit of wisdom, or the knowledge of things and their causes. So if you put philosophy ahead of the Word of God, it's wrong. And then we'll save 13 on down for next week, and we'll touch on these things next week because we won't have time to get into them today. So our testimony is so very important. What we do, what we say, where we go, how we say it can be very important. The rules that govern liberty, I'm free to do whatever, but whatever I do, I want it to magnify, glorify, and uplift the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's it for today. Again, hopefully God's given us something we can use to draw closer to Him, to magnify and uplift Him, and just see what the Lord will do in our lives. Let's pray. Father, I do thank You for this time. I ask that You use Your Word, convict us, draw us closer to You, show us what we need to change in our lives to bring us more about being like the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now that You bless the service that's coming as we leave here. Just speak through the preacher, give us what we need. And again, Father, we thank You for what You've done, what You're going to do. In Christ's name, amen.